listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Hello, world. Welcome back to another edition of the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Good to be back as the season heats up. Once again, we have a great show on tap for you here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Of course, all of our guests tonight will appear on the Rocket Heather's Hotline. And coming off a nice weekend, we got to visit with a lot of racing people for the first time this year over at the West Michigan Race Car Show. We had a great time over there. We do have several guests tonight. We're going to have Jason Blond. He spoke to us at the show, and we're going to tape his interview because he's on his way to Winchester Speedway for tomorrow for an important test. We'll get into that a little more during his interview. So Jason Blond is going to be on. He is also going to be making his way down to Bristol Motor Speedway on Saturday. We'll tell you what all that's about. We also have Mike Spencer from the USAC CRA Sprint Car Series and your feature winner last Saturday night at the Paris Auto Speedway. And then along the way, we're also going to try to get Rob Goodman back on the line. He was unable to join us last week. He's going to join us this week. We're going to talk all things Hartford Motor Speedway, Kokomo Speedway, and whatever else Rob happens to have on his mind. So Jason Blond, Mike Spencer, and Rob Goodman, your guests tonight. If you want to be a part of the show, you always can be. You can do it via email, radio@tjslideways.com. You can also jump on our Facebook fan page on tjslideways.com and join us there. Or on Twitter by replying to @tjslideways with your question. Well, that gets the show started. And, of course, we start off every show with what's going on with
the latest dirt.
The latest dirt on all the news. Last weekend, the Mini Gold Cup took place at the Silver Dollar Speedway in Chico, California. This time, on Friday night, the USAC Classic Racing Series kicked off their 2011 and inaugural campaign. Cody Swanson and Brian Clausen for the midget car victory coming out of a photo finish on the last lap while Bill Rose took a night off from his World of Outlaw activities, won the non-wing sprint car portion. Then on Saturday night, Craig Delansky had a dominating performance, won his first World of Outlaws feature of the 2011 season. Meanwhile, Steve Kinzer, after Chico, holds a 15-point advantage over Joey Saldana going into this weekend's doubleheader at the King Speedway and the Tulare Thunderbowl. Over in central Pennsylvania, Doug Esch made his return to the Roots 30. Didn't take long to get them hooked up. He won the feature at Lincoln Speedway on Saturday night. Mickey Young took home the 358 sprint car victory. And then on Sunday, Lance DeReese held off Tyler Walker on a rough-and-tumble racing service to win the feature over at Sealance Grove Speedway. During that race, Fred Raymer actually sat out the feature after he got knocked in the shoulder with a piece of the track surface. Bruised his arm, isn't broken, and hopefully Fred will be healed up for this weekend's activities. ASCS regional action over the weekend. Gary Wright won the Lone Star region feature at the Lone Star Speedway, while R.J. Johnson won the non-wing ASCS Canyon region event over at USA Race Park in Tucson, Arizona. And I also want to send out get well wishes to Rick Hendricks, veteran midget and sprint car driver. He took a nasty looking tumble over at the Ventura Raceway on Saturday night. Looked very scary at the time, but thankfully Hendricks is going to be okay. Broke his arm, rung his bell pretty good, but a-okay as Steve Conrad ended up winning the regular VRA feature and Rob Kershaw won the senior sprint feature. And in case you are stuck at home, there's some great streaming on VenturaRaceway.com in their weekly program, and a big open wheel triple header, at least might even be quadruple header, over there this weekend. So that would be everything that's going on.
The latest dirt.
With the latest dirt. And, of course, we were down at the West Michigan Race Car Show Friday and Saturday. We made a quick stop on Friday. We're part of the Must See Racing television program. Dave Argabite and Tom Bigelow in the house. It's great to have the all-time USAC Sprint Car leading feature winner in the house in Grand Rapids, along with Dave wanted me to mention, that Still Wide Open, his book with Brad Doty, is going into reprint. Go to DaveArgabright.com for details. But very excited about that project. But I got to be a part of making some TV with the friends over at Engine Pro, Scott and everyone were down there, and Jim Hanks. I want to thank them for their hospitality on Friday. We had a great time doing a TV interview there at the mall, and it was a really great show. Tom DeVette and his staff did a great job putting that deal together, and over there at the West Michigan Race Car Show, and that benefits the March of Dimes, by the way. It's a benefit car show, and they raise money various ways by voting, you know, the votes for the cars. You buy them for $1 a piece. There's a lot of different things. Raised over $2,000 for the March of Dimes. So give them a round of applause, everyone there, Tom DeVette and his crew. It moved to a different mall this year. We were out on 28th Street at the Centerpoint Mall, and that was really cool. And we had a lot more sprint car representation, which made it awesome for me. Dustin Daggett, RVA Super Sprints, the Musty Extreme Sprint Car Series. We had a midget there, a couple other mini sprints, and a lot of quarter midgets. And it was great to see all those open-wheel race cars mixed in with in the middle of stock car country here on the west side of Michigan. So that's what's going on locally. I know this weekend, if you're in the Tiffin, Ohio area, make sure to make your way out to the mall there. The Northern Ohio Sprint Car Show will be taking place. That's a very neat show. It's been going on for several years. Steve Hartzell and his crew put that together along with the staffs of Attica Raceway Park and Fremont Speedway. I know Hoosierville is going to have an auction there. Auction items. We have the updated list we plan on posting probably tonight or tomorrow morning for that auction. But I've done that mall show two or three different times. It's one of the most fun mall shows to go to. A lot of the drivers are hanging around, and it's a week before Attica Raceway Park kicks off. So everyone's in the racing mood. The race cars will be very race ready because they'll be ready to go the very following week. So it's going to be a neat deal. Fremont and Attica both represent out there. You're going to have some live shows going on out there. So if you're in the Tiffin, Ohio area, make sure to check that out. So, coming up upon our first break here, when we come back, we're going to talk to Jason Blond about his world record attempt at Bristol Motor Speedway and the Biobase race team, and going back to the dirt for 2011. And then we're going to talk to Mike Spencer and Rob Goodman. You're listening to the TJ Slider's Open Wheel Spectacular here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Stay tuned.
TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Wow.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
And welcome back here to Wyoming, Michigan studios here at the TJ Slideways headquarters as we're back with the Open Wheel Spectacular. Over the weekend, we mentioned we were at the West Michigan Race Car Show and the Must See Extreme Sprint Car Series had a display out there, and along with Dave Argabright, Tom Bigelow, and all the series officials and sponsors, Jason Blonde was able to tape an interview with us. Jason was going to join us live, but he's on his way to Winchester to do some testing for some tires and an upcoming event taking place on Saturday night after the Nationwide race. There's going to be several drivers attempting to break Sammy Swindell's Bristol track record. And got to give the Bristol people credit. This is some old-fashioned promoting. They're going to have Mike Lutschke in a Super Modified. They're going to have Brad Nossinger in a Super Modified. That'll be interesting. Nossinger, I don't think he's driven a Super in quite some time. And one place to get into one's at Bristol. But he has lots of laps around Bristol, so it could be an advantage there. Brian Clausen, one of Tony Stewart Racing's non-wing sprint cars. And also Jason Blonde added that Blonde's the guy who hasn't been talked about very much in this deal, but he has probably the best shot at going to break this record. He set a new track record for sprint cars at Kalamazoo, which just to tick off the all-time track record, which is set by some juiced-up late model with a 10-foot board strapped to it and a big block. So, I mean, you know, with a perfectly, you know, tech-legal sprint car to be able to smoke a chewed-up Cheaters Day car, you know, that's something else. And he's done it at several other tracks. So we talked to him about that and what he expects to have happen during the upcoming season. And this is what Jason had to say.
Jason Blonde here with us, and he is getting ready to do something remarkable. He's going to be going down to Bristol Motor Speedway and attempt to shatter Sammy Swindell's track record. First off, Jason, do you think you can get it done?
I think so. We did a test there probably 5 years ago, and we're already underneath that record. So this is going to be official now, so I think we can get her done.
Now, you are going to be using American Racer tires, possibly, to set the record, too?
Well, we're going to go do a test at Winchester Speedway this Wednesday. So we're going to make sure that they're legit and that they're working, and then we'll go from there.
Let's see what's going to happen. Now, what's the difference, you said you've tested there, between Bristol and, let's say, like Winchester and Salem?
There's not really much difference. This was before they resurfaced Bristol, so it was pretty rough coming off, too. I mean, the car sucked down 4 to 5 inches. There's so much G-force. So it's pretty close to Winchester-Salem. You know, Salem's pretty rough, too. But it just seems, you know, with the stands on the outside, it seems like it's a lot tighter, but it's actually a little bigger than Winchester.
And you said the noise, you were talking earlier, the noise you said there is just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just like a, you know, constant echo of a motor. And you can't tell where the cars are because there's usually, you know, either track you can see or hear where the car is. This is just sounds like there's 1,000 cars out there at one time.
And you have this, you're back for the second year with the BioBase team. Did you ever imagine you'd be with a team that's structured like this one?
No. It's pretty unique, you know. We keep adding drivers. Just the situation we're in as far as the opportunities we're getting with the Must-See Racing and Engine Pro. I mean, this is big for us to go to Bristol, and the TV exposure we're getting, it's a really big deal, and I'm really surprised where we're going. This deal is just really exploding.
And now, moving away from the Bristol thing, you're going back to the dirt this year a little bit. You're excited about it?
Definitely. I get to go back to race with some of my old Brett Mann guys and Dustin Daggett, the guys I used to drive against, and definitely excited about that.
You know how many dirt races are going to do at this point?
Not right now. It's just kind of see what the schedule is and conflicting and go from there.
And how many of the, now you have a lot of different teammates, do you keep all the cars at your shop or are they spread out?
They're all spread out. Everybody has their own car at their own shop, so I mean that makes it easier on my life.
I was going to say you're not maintaining like 5-6 cars.
No, if that was the case, you know, I'd have to be a full-time employee for BioBase.
But they've done a lot of great things, their team, and this is a wonderful opportunity you've been given here.
Definitely, it is. It's like a dream come true. You know, that would be the dream come true if I could do it for a living, you know, so that'd be the next step.
Now, you also are running one of these Diablo chassis that Dave Steele builds, first year for it last year. What do you think of the race car? How is it different than some of the other cars you've driven in the past?
Yeah, it's just lighter weight. It just seems to react a lot quicker. Like I said, it was just bullet fast. Every night everywhere we went. It was fast. You know, before it was kind of hill hit and miss a little bit, but they seem to be more forgiving.
And, of course, you mentioned the must-see racing thing with the television. Have you noticed some residual from the television exposure, like people coming up to saying, hey, I saw you on TV when your places are at the track?
Yeah, definitely. If I'm at a work site or whatever, somebody will come up and say, hey, you know, I just seen your racing on TV, you know, so it's definitely pretty cool to hear that.
I'm sure you have some people to thank, too.
Definitely, I thank BioBase, of course, and, you know, Don and Sue Ellen Wilshie, Engine Pro, Gertie Engines, Diablo Chassis, and, you know, all the crew that helps us out because, you know, they put a lot of hours in, and definitely got to thank them.
All right, Jason Block.
Another interview took place last Saturday. It was past Saturday over the weekend at the West Michigan Race Car Show, and Jason Braun, some interesting things from that interview. You heard the mention of the American Racer tire test. This has not been a secret over the winter. We've seen any car with basically it was not put on display by the Must-See Racing Series has had American Racer tires on it since the IMIS show. And the goal here, if this all comes together, from what I understand it, is to reduce the tire cost for the teams in half and to equalize a new tire versus an old tire. This is going to be a really interesting deal to see how it pans out. They've done extensive testing. This is going to be the third or fourth test for this tire, and taking it to Winchester should even out. We'll know how fast it's going to go, but it will be interesting to see if the American Racer, along with the series, can deliver upon what's a huge promise. And I know Jim Hanks and these guys have the best of intentions with this thing and working hard on it, and I hope they can come through with it. But it's going to create an interesting scenario. We have the USAC, non-main pavement regional sprint car series, the Spartan sprint cars, the Haas series, and the AutoValue series on Hoosier. If you notice, the Must-See series, along with the Haas schedules, there are a couple of TBAs that line up, maybe one race that's the same on there, but there's a lot of TBAs on the Haas schedule, and there's not really the cooperation we've seen between the two series. Now, they didn't schedule on top of each other. There's one conflicting TBA race possibly on the schedule. And it'll be interesting to see the Must-See series develop into a standalone series, because in the past, the Must-See racing events originally were co-sanctioned with AutoValue and Haas. Last year, they were sanctioned with Haas for show-up points. This year, though, they're going out on their own. Which teams are going to go to the Must-See side and which ones are going to stay more regional with the AutoValue and the Haas series is going to be something interesting to watch throughout the off-season. But hopefully everyone can find plenty of races to go to. And if this American Racer deal plans out, it could work out well for the racers and see if they could save them a couple of bucks here and there. Now, you mentioned, Jason mentioned also going back to the dirt. Brett Mann's actually going to be the anchor on the dirt side of that deal. And he's already got parts waiting for a race car right now. Last time I talked to him last week, between him and then they're going to have Brett Ryan. So when they're riding the blacktop, Jason can be up to speed right away. Then I can be figuring out the race car because spring time, that's going to allow them to be a little more on the setup and stuff when Jason wants to go in and race. And it'll be interesting to see Jason back on the dirt. He made one start last year in Ryan Davis's car. He looked pretty good. And the wheel fell off in the heat race, like getting the B main in the feature looked pretty decent as well. But for someone that hasn't been on the dirt in a while, we all remember how talented that young man was back in the Butler Speedway days. And it was pretty awesome to see. And hopefully we'll see Jason back in form on the dirt as well. All three of the schedules for the Must-See Racing Series, the Haas Series, the AutoValue Super Sprints, all available in the 2011 schedule section of TJSlideways.com. So if you want to check out some asphalt racing, mix it in with your dirt stuff, go there and you can check it out. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to get Mike Spencer on the line. He had quite a run last week in the USAC CRA Sprint Car Series. He won the series opener at the Paris Auto Speedway. They have several new venues on that series coming up this year. We're going to ask him what it's going to be like. Go to a couple of different places. What he thinks the health is of the 410 sprint cars in Southern California. Our goal every week here is kind of have a national guest, a regional guest, and a local guest. And
He's going to be our national guest this, this week, being out in California. And then we're going to talk to Rob Gooden as well about all things Kokomo Speedway, Hartford Motor Speedway. Rob always has opinions on something, so I'm sure he'll have an opinion to share. So we're going to take another break. We'll come back with Mike Spencer here on the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com. Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocket.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Mike Spencer will be joining us momentarily here once he slides out for a moment. But while we have a minute, take a look at what's coming up this weekend. If you're on the West Coast, there are a pair of awesome doubleheaders coming up this weekend. The World of Outlaws paired up with the USAC West Coast 360 Sprint Cars two nights in a row, Friday night at the King Speedway and Saturday at the Tulare Thunder Bowl. That should be a really awesome pairing. The best of both worlds, the USAC West Coast 360 is one of the best up-and-coming little series around the incarnation of the Bandit Sprint Car Series, a group of cars that has a really nice following out west. And, of course, the World of Outlaws, the best show on the land, on two short tracks this weekend. And over in central Pennsylvania, it's going to be interesting to watch, too. Williams Grove gets fired up for the first time this weekend. They're going to run on Friday. And then Lincoln and Port Royal are going to be going head-to-head for the first time on Saturdays. The interesting thing, the 358 sprint cars are going to be over at Port Royal. And that's a pairing we haven't seen too much, but the new management at Port Royal has brought out a lot of 305 shows and 358 shows to complement their 410 sprint car program. And the new blood at Port Royal, it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out, competing head-to-head for cars with Lincoln on Saturdays. And it seems like if you're from central Pennsylvania, you definitely have an opinion on where to run on Saturdays. Either you go to Lincoln or you go to Port. And there's no middle ground there, it seems like. And it'll be interesting to see. But another kind of off-the-radar show that's up this weekend, $5,000 to win. Not, you know, a lot of times that doesn't seem like very much, but it's for a 305 sprint car race at Southern New Mexico Speedway in Las Cruces, New Mexico. We're going to have our eyes on that. The Racing Boys are even going to broadcast it live. Jeff Swindell's even going down there to race it. It's kind of it's been a growing show the past couple of years, and it's quite a way to kick off the Renegade 305 Sprint Car Series over at SNMS. So it's a group we follow and actually have quite a bit of traffic for on the website. So a lot of people read us from down there. So the big Renegade 305 show down at Southern New Mexico, and we mentioned the Tiff and Mall show getting cranked up because Attica Raceway Park starts next week. And next week we are going to have Attica Raceway Park promoter Rex Lejeune on the show with us. So Rex manages that for John Boers and is a veteran of doing a lot of different jobs in the racing world. And we'll probably do a couple segments with Rex because we'll talk about Attica past, present, and future and some of his past experiences being in everything from flagman to selling tickets to selling popcorn. Rex has done it all. And him and I have taken some road trips over the years, and that's going to be an interesting one. Rex is a great guy, and we're working on our guest for next week, but Rex Lejeune will be on next week, and whoever else we can match up for the Attica opener and some of the other big shows going on around the country. So we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Mike Spencer. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit RaceMaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on RaceMaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
T.J. Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Okay.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Back here on the Open Wheel Spectacular, and our next guest joining us on the Rocket Headers Hotline is three-time and defending USAC CRA Sprint Car Champion and your feature winner Saturday night at the Paris Auto Speedway, Mike Spencer. Mike, I appreciate you taking time out, especially with the time difference, to join us tonight.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you back here, and congratulations. You won the season opener in pretty spectacular style, and you had to do it from the seventh starting spot. What point in the feature did you really start to move up from the fourth row?
Got a pretty good start, actually, and we were able to move up to I think fourth fairly early, and then kind of was able to pick the other two guys off a little bit later in the race, and I think that's a challenge for the lead probably just a little bit after the halfway point, and actually we were able to pass the leader, and then kind of the caution came out right after that, so kind of back to the drawing board on that one, and then like you said, we're just able to get by him there on the last corner and just be into the line.
Was that the plan all along, was to go after him on the last lap, or was that just when he caught him?
It just kind of worked out that way, actually. There was a lap car, we kind of caught him as we entered turn three, and the lapper was sort of in the middle of the racetrack, and the leader was Damian Gardner. He kind of chose to try to go underneath the guy, and the guy started to turn down a little bit, and I went the opposite way, and just kind of worked out that I had a lane open on the outside and was able to squeeze by him, and just kind of worked out that lap traffic. You know, sometimes it helps you and sometimes it hurts you, and I've kind of lost races like that, so it was kind of nice to turn around and win one, lap traffic.
And you mentioned you beat Gardner, and does it give a guy like you at races on the West Coast primarily a little more confidence when a national guy comes out and you beat him right out of the gate?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, he's had a pretty good start to the year, so, it's nice to, I guess, beat him, but it's just nice to win in general, no matter who it is. I am glad, that we were able to win here at Paris and kind of defend our turf,
Yeah.
Some of the time that the guys from back east come out of town, and when they beat us, it's humbling. You kind of want to do good against all those guys, and then, like I said, just defend your turf, and luckily we were able to do that.
Let's go on to end with this next. What would you call the rivalry between the CRA guys and the national guys? Friendly rivalry, not so friendly, you guys all seem to get along pretty well, but I know one side definitely wants to beat the other, especially in those end-of-the-year races in November.
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty friendly. We don't get to race against each other a whole lot, but and most of the time when we do it, it is at the big races, like you said, which just to win those races, no matter who it is, would be an honor. So, it's probably just a friendly rivalry, and right now they've kind of beat us a lot more than we've beat them, and so they've kind of had the upper hand. So, I don't know, maybe this would kind of be the start of, things turn around out here, and maybe we can get some of those wins at the end of the year.
And we were talking off the air a little bit about some of the different places the series is going to go to this year. It looks like the USAC CRA Sprint Car is going to visit a couple of different tracks, one of which is Victorville for your next race. Have you raced at Victorville before, and what can fans expect when you guys are going to roll in there? What is Victorville Raceway Park like?
I'm really looking forward to going there. We raced there. They had a couple open shows that Jack Gardner and Kerry Foss put on a couple years ago, and the track's really nice, has a really nice shape to it, and it's pretty racy. It's kind of, it's got some sweeping corners, and it kind of, the corner radius changes a little bit and gets tight on the exit, so it was really racy when we went there, and
you know, it should be a good race. And I know they've just kind of changed promoters up there, and I think they've been, you know, kind of advertising the race. So, you know, really hoping it goes well. You know, they've scheduled a couple races for later in the year as well, and hopefully this first one, you know, gets them off on the right foot.
How did you judge the health of the USAC CRA Sprint Car Series right now? For the longest time, it seems like you guys were based out of Paris. And over the last couple of years, you guys have opened up and you started traveling again a bit more. Do you think the series is still very healthy? Is it just going through maybe a transition period of maybe more traveling? What's your take on the health of the series?
I mean, it's been healthier. You know, in the past we had more cars, but you know, I think part of that's the economy just being down a little bit right now. You know, we do have while the schedule is down, but we do have, you know, a lot of good racetracks that we're going to. And we do have a pretty good group of cars that's going to go now, I think, to all the races. So, you know, I think it's maybe in a little bit of a rebuilding state right now, but kind of excited. We got, you know, Chris Kearns, he promotes Santa Maria Speedway. He's kind of come on board with USAC as, you know, a type of director position. And then Lance Jennings with, SRA Fan has come on like as a marketing PR, guy. And I think that's been really positive so far for the series. I know they've added a lot of contingency awards and stuff like that that really helps the racers. So, you know, I think all that stuff's going in the right direction, and, you know, I think there's good things to come.
Now, you drive a pretty legendary car in the USAC CRA Sprint Car Series, and when you take a seat like that, did it add any pressure to you with the history of who's driven for your team, or does that not even really affect you just going in there to drive it?
Now I'm pretty comfortable. I'd say a little bit at first, even though I might not have said that it did, it might add a little bit of pressure. I mean, but I put, you know, pressure on myself to, you know, do the best I can and try to win races. So, but now as far as, you know, I'm pretty comfortable, and I've driven it for the last, I don't know, I think this is my sort of the fifth year driving, I guess. So, you know, I'm you know, very proud to drive for it, given their, you know, the history that they've had and all the wins. So, you know, just great people. Ron Chaffin, you know, is a coroner, like you said, and he just gives us, you know, everything we need. And Bruce Bromley is an excellent mechanic and seems to be working well right now.
And I have to ask, how were you asked to drive the car? There's quite often an interesting story in how a driver might get asked to get the big break. And how were you asked to drive the car?
Bruce just called me up. It was the day after the last race in 2006, and he's like, "Hey, you want to drive for me next year?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." You know, and you know, that was it. We talked for, I don't know, 5 minutes, and that was it. You know, after I hung up, I was kind of like, "Wow, you know, did that really happen?" But and then, you know, the rest, like I said, we've been together a little while now, so yeah, just a phone call and. That was it.
Any inkling that was coming, or was that completely catch you off guard?
It probably caught me off guard a little bit, I guess. I don't know. It's a little while ago now, so that was definitely really cool.
And, of course, we were talking also off there about you coming back to the Midwest, possibly. Are Midwest fans going to see you at all this year? Are those plans still being formulated? What are the chances of seeing me for a sprint week or a midget week or something else like that?
I'm thinking I'll be coming back for sprint week. I've driven the last 2 years for Scooter Ellis back there and had a lot of fun doing it. He's great to work with. You know, we get along really good. So probably end up, you know, we'll do that this summer. Hopefully he's kind of putting the pieces in place, you know, on his car and rebuilding an engine and stuff. So I think, you know, all that hopefully will come together and come back there and race, and maybe on the weekend before to kind of shake everything down and kind of just see what happens. Really don't have anything concrete other than that. So, just kind of see how it goes.
As a California guy coming out to the Midwest, what's your favorite thing about coming out to the Midwest to race, and your least favorite about coming out to Middle America to race? That's not interesting.
I don't know that I have a least favorite. I mean, I like it. I just like coming back there. You know, it's there's so many tough guys, and the competition's you know, really stout, and all the racetracks they're all pretty fun to race, and they're a lot different than the tracks out here. So it's very challenging, and you know, I like it. I've got to have some friends back there, and you know, now I've got a little bit of experience at some of the different tracks, so I kind of know what to expect. So, you know, I really enjoy it and, you know, would like to do a little bit more of it.
No, he's saying this because he comes in July. He doesn't come in February, otherwise he might have something he doesn't like. But
Yeah, I don't know how I would do in the cold.
Yeah, so, but
by now it's like 70 degrees and sunny and clear out here in Southern California. I don't know what it's like back there right now.
Yeah, it got to 45 and we were excited.
Oh, yeah?
So, I mean, we didn't see the sunshine, but it actually hit like above freezing. We were excited about that today.
So,
Mike, one more question. One of our readers sent in. When did you start driving a sprint car? When was the first time you sat in a car?
In 2001. It was my rookie year with SCRA at the time, and my first race was at Manzanita Speedway.
Oh, wow. Quite a place to start out.
Yeah, it was. You know, that was like probably the biggest track that we go to. But, you know, after making it through that, then we came back to Paris, and it seemed like, you know, it wasn't quite as fast, and it seemed like, you know, you'd really learn a lot and kind of got used to the speed from Phoenix and maybe helped it be a little bit easier of a transition to go back to Paris. But, so, yeah, that's when I got started.
Very interesting take, and I'm sure you have some people to thank as well.
Oh, yeah. Just like you said, my corner, Ron Chaffin, and everybody that's involved on our car, you know, Madera Produce and Grubsteak, Mini Storage and Cating Performance, Weld Wheels and Electrotech Powder Coating. We have a great crew that goes with us to all the races, and, you know, just want to thank them, and, hopefully we'll get back there to see you later this summer.
All right, well, Mike Spencer, thank you for taking out time out of your busy schedule to join us, and maybe we'll talk to you again when you come out for Sprint Week.
I hope so. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That was Mike Spencer. Really super nice guy. First time on the show for him, and great to have him on. And I'll tell you what, the guy is a gas. So first time I ever saw him in any kind of sprint car in person was at Southern Iowa Speedway. He was turning laps to promote the Ultimate Challenge. Hauls her into turn three and puts her up on two wheels, puts it back down, never gets out of the gas, and I think he sold a few extra tickets for Terry McCarl for doing that. So we're going to take a little quick break. When we come back, we're going to try to get Rob Goodman on the line for the second week in a row. We're going to talk Hartford Motor Speedway and Kokomo Speedway. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular and Races on the Web.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
T.J. Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Okay.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
And welcome back to the TJ Sliders Open Wheel Spectacular. And we're finally able to track down Rob Goodwin from the Hartford Motor Speedway and the Kokomo Speedway. Rob, thank you for taking time out to join us tonight.
No problem, as always. Thanks for keeping us in thought with our weekly programs.
Oh, yeah. You keep busy during the summer. You are basically like the general manager type at the Hartford Motor Speedway, and you announce over at Kokomo. It's been a pretty big deal for you there, and you keep busy. How did you get into running Hartford?
Actually, I met Jim Borden and his son-in-law, J.R. Hottavy, which are late model racers. For fans that don't know, I actually initially met them down at the Crown Point Speedway when the O'Connor family owned that facility, and then me and JR just kind of struck up a friendship. We're very good friends outside of the business, and we just one day Jim called me and said, "Hey, I think I'm going to buy a racetrack, and I'd really like your help on making this thing a go." And that this will be our fourth year together coming up here in 2011.
It's hard to believe it's been 4 years. How has working in the racing business full time doing Hartford changed your view of the racing world that compared to what it was before you went to Hartford?
It's kind of, You know, hit and miss. I've been very fortunate to, the O'Connor family, which owned Kokomo and promoted Kankakee and owned Crown Point. I kind of almost internshiped under them and just kind of learning the business. So, right out of the gate, I kind of had a mentor there, which was really helpful that I could translate over on some Friday night stuff. But, you always heard the joke for years that it's a thankless job and running a racetrack or being involved in a racetrack. And, definitely when you walk a mile in somebody's shoes on that end, you really get to appreciate, all the things that really have to go right and work right to make a successful program.
Now, are you the race surface guy, or are you more the handshaking guy, or do you have your hands on a little bit of everything?
A little bit of everything. Most of the time, JR actually handled physically most of the track prep, but the thing that we try to do at both racetracks is it's a lot of input from a lot of people as the night progresses and where things go as far as, what we need to do with the surface. Very blessed with Kokomo with Reese O'Connor, who's kind of the specialist on the surface. I've been to a lot of racetracks, seen a lot of shows, and, really, I would put Reese at got to be one of the top 10 surface people in the U.S. for dirt tracks. Because, anybody now just knows how phenomenal other races are there with his guidance.
I would agree with that. The race surface at Kokomo, I agree with you, is one of the best in the country. And what they've done with that facility at Kokomo, the reshaping and everything. If you were there 10 years ago, walked into Kokomo Speedway now, you might recognize the parking lot. And that's about it.
Yeah, this will be our eighth year at the racetrack. And as you mentioned, the seventh year after the 2004 season, we pretty much knocked everything down and started over. And I've been to the old racetrack quite a bit, the old flat racetrack, the paperclip, and there was a lot of, locals obviously that had grown up with it were pretty disappointed, but as the years have progressed and the races progressed there, you just walk out of there every Sunday night shaking your head, you just don't think you get any better. And for those who watched the finish with Kokomo Clash for the sprint cars or even there in person, hands down, probably one of the best races in the United States that you'll find, on any given night.
Yeah, and the weekly program there. Now, one thing that's interesting about Kokomo and Hartford, you have two different states, and you have two dramatically different periods of time where school gets back into session. You think if school in Indiana, they're back in mid-August, and Michigan are back after Labor Day. Do you think if Indiana was back in session after Labor Day, that would help Kokomo immensely?
Oh, without a doubt. We see a very dramatic fall in our attendance with just with the schools being back in session with the kids. We converse with Jake's all the time over at I-69. We have a very good relationship with him. And, if a high school football, even in Indiana like it is in Michigan, once you start the high school football, there's a cup in attendance, for sure, at both places, even on the in Michigan. But, we see a pretty big drop just with people in the stands at Kokomo with the Sunday night. We kind of scaled back the schedule a little bit this year. Got a couple of to be announced on the schedule. I know the
one that we're pretty close to release. It'll be the August 14th date, and I think that's going to make a lot of open wheel fans happy on that one.
That's a nice little hint to drop, and then we'll have to be back on after that's announced.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to it, and actually we get a lot of emails from people who go to the Knoxville Nationals and have started to stop on their way home at Kokomo as a normal routine, so I think we'll keep a lot of those people happy as well.
And that's a great thing to do, actually, on the way there and the way back, because it's a good way to avoid Chicago, too. If you don't want to go through, get tangled up in the Chicago traffic, you can hit Kokomo and kind of backtrack your way up to some back roads up to Knoxville. It's actually a really interesting trip.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you run into people. I'm kind of located in the Chicago area, so I'm not so scared of Chicago traffic, but there's a lot of people who definitely want no part of commuting through the city.
Yeah, I don't mind it either, but I know that a lot of people in my family, a lot of friends, will do anything at all to avoid that. And, heck, you might as well go racing if you're going to do that. So, and like you said, at Hartford, you've kind of stepped up the, turned up a notch. The big shows, you've got big late model shows, big sprint car shows, and a motorcycle race.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we talked about earlier, Jim Borden's fourth season there, and he really, it's been a few years just kind of getting things in place there, and he's definitely jumped in with both feet in the deep end this year. We started right out of the gate with the World of Outlaw late models on April 29th, and then Jim, who's a late model guy like we've talked about, is learning more about the sprint cars. We had him go down to Charlotte to the World Finals, and he really enjoyed that. And that's kind of where the seed got planted. We started talking with the people from the sprint car organization, and we finally, about 2 weeks ago, we released a September 21st, a Wednesday night show, and that'll be a return of the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars. And it's been quite a few years since they've been there, and I think, as long as the weather's fairly decent on that, be a big, big crowd for that one, for sure.
I was going to say, the midweek shows go over real big here in Michigan, and that should be a really interesting show in the pit area, too, because a lot of series are winding down at that point, and a lot of full-time racers need another paycheck, and one on a Wednesday that late in the year looks pretty good when you're racing to put food on the table.
Yeah, absolutely. We're hoping to see some support from the IRA guys over in Wisconsin area. Of course, you got the fast guys from Ohio, which isn't a reason to come over and check that out. And, I know the people are very excited with Lane Automotive for this event, too, with their relationship where they stepped up with Jason Myers as a defending World of Outlaw Sprint Car Champion. So that's something that's really, everybody's kind of worked behind the scenes very hard to make that happen. And, as long as the weather doesn't bite us, I'm thrilled about that. And as you touched on, June 11th will be the return of the AMA Grand National Flat Track Motorcycles on a Saturday night, and that's definitely going to be something that I'm not used to seeing on a weekly program, but I know it's definitely wild on the big, nasty racetrack.
Oh, I was going to say, with the size of Hartford, they'll practically be in the tuck getting down the straightaways and stuff. That would be a wild show. How did the seed get planted to do that one?
Actually, Jim spends some time down in Florida during the winters, and he actually checked out a flat track race, I believe over at Daytona's, where he kind of got the bug in that a few years ago. And he started talking to Steve Moorhead, who an AMA, rider, and they kind of struck up a little bit of a friendship and talked, bantered back a little bit back and forth. And then by about last fall, we got pretty serious about having one of those events, and it just kind of took off from there. And I know Jim, an avid Harley man like himself, is very excited to see the bikes at his racetrack.
Yeah, that's going to be a tremendous show. And if you want to check out something different, I highly recommend going to that program because it'll be an awesome show. And some big specials again at Kokomo, too, the Kokomo Clash, Sprint Week, Midget Week. You got a little bit of everything for everyone there, too.
Yeah, we don't want to ton of programs. I think we had 18 weekends scheduled, but as you touched on, a lot of diversity through the program, a lot of different people such as the UMRA TQ Midgets, 600 mini sprints, the MMSA, which is a 1,000 TC mini sprint from Southern Indiana, come and run, the Bob Darwin Memorial, which has really turned into a big event. We'll have midgets on the card for that, and the Kokomo Clash, like you mentioned, is actually something that's kind of my baby, per se, that I like to put on. And last year was just phenomenal race-wise. I think we had close to 330 entries over a two-day program, and there's not a lot of tracks in the U.S. that can bolster those type of numbers. So that's something that's kind of it's bittersweet because it's the end of the season, but it was so outstanding last year. We're already looking forward to it.
And another great thing about both facilities, but especially at Kokomo, it's a Sunday night, and you guys have to get the program down at a decent hour. I mean, there is no choice there, but it seems like every week I read about what time the feature ends at Kokomo, and I kick myself in the rear end for not going, because I can make it back to home in time. It's a 3-hour drive for me, and I could make it back in time and still be well-rested for work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, Sunday nights, we kind of have a saying that seconds count right there, you know, so we really try to hustle the program along. It's a work night. Even though everybody's off, like you said, everybody's got to get up and go to work. You know, not only do the racers have to get loaded up and get paid after, you know, the track employees have to shut the track down. So we really try to get the program done. And it's one thing that I really see industry-wise that we're kind of hurting at short track racing is timely programs. You know, there's a reason why the movie pictures are 2-2.5 hour programs. It's really hard to keep the general fan interested in a program when you hold them there 4, 4.5, 5 hours. I think a lot of people are starting to get the concept that you really need to streamline your programs and try to run 3-hour programs. Obviously, you're going to have nights where the wheels fall off and unexpected things happen. But more often than not, if you can streamline your program, a lot of people talk about it. You know, and like you said, the people that have to travel, there's a good chance you might get their support someone on a normal basis.
Yeah, I've worked with you on Friday nights over at Hartford, and I know the same thing applies there. I know that Rob is usually looking at his watch, and if it's anywhere near 7:30, he will let you know what minute it is.
Yeah, you know, it's something that, like I said, that I kind of learned to craft from the O'Connor family, and Jim's very passionate about moving the program along. And then for those people that have never been to Hartford, it's a very unique, big racetrack, but it is right in the middle of the town. So, obviously, we have a very good relationship with the city of Hartford. In fact, the mayor, ironically named Ted Johnson, is a big fan, and he's in the race. You know, he comes to the races about each and every Friday night, and, you know, we try to get the program done and get him home because, I mean, let's face it, even, and, you know, people that are involved in the business know it's not a lot of fun leaving the racetrack at 2:30 in the morning.
It depends on where you go. I think some people think it is fun, but that's another story for another day. So, Rob, I really appreciate you making time out for us. If people want more information on both speedways, how can they get it?
They can visit the Hartford Motor Speedway, which is located in Hartford, Michigan, at hartfordmotorspeedway.net. And as you mentioned, it's a Friday night facility. We'll kick off our first race of the year on April 29th. For Kokomo, Sunday afternoon sprint week, you can visit KokomoSpeedway.net for more info for that. And we kick off with a big event there is the USAC National Sprint Cars 17th. So you get to see all the stars and cars to start the season off there. So we'll come out with both barrels ablazing for my programs here this year.
All right, Bob, thank you for taking time out to join us. And we'll have you back on probably before that Outlaw show and before sprint week.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. Rob Goodman, a really good guy who works at Kokomo and helps run Hartford. And I'll tell you what, him along with Jim Borden and their staff have turned that deal around 180 degrees at Hartford. And yeah, I can't say enough about the O'Connor family. They are just 100% class. They're an awesome family. And the thing is, a family operation, whether your name is O'Connor or not, you are part of the family when you're working there. And they've welcomed us with open arms down there, and that is my ideal racetrack. If you look at Kokomo Speedway, the reinvention of it, if I was going to build a racetrack from scratch, I'd probably ask if I could get laser measurements of that facility racing-wise, because it was one of the most awesome racetracks I've ever seen. And like I said earlier, the features are done by 9:30 down there. I read about it every week, and I think, man, maybe I can't go down there. I got to go to work on Monday. And I read about what time the feature gets over on Sunday, and I just kick myself. I should have been there. And I'm glad you are here this week for the Open Wheel Spectacular. That's going to wrap up the program. I have to thank all the guests that appeared, Mike Spencer and Rob Goodman, and also Jason Bond for taping his interview this past weekend, and we'll be back next week. Rex Levine from Attica Race also going to have some other guests pertaining to the Attica Open. The racing season is right around the corner, folks. It is getting hot and heavy each and every Tuesday to talk about it. So we hope to see you back here on Tuesday nights at 7:00 p.m. Eastern. Or if you're listening to the podcast, thanks for downloading us. Make sure to download us again next week. Thank you and good night.
You've been listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com. Thanks for tuning in, and come back next week for your open wheel racing fix.